Welcome to the Northside Christian Church podcast. This is the collection of weekly sermons from our staff. Northside Christian Church exists to connect people to Christ and one another. So we want to hear how God is working in your life. Share your story by emailing amen@northsidechristianchurch.net or by tagging your tweets with #AmenNCC. For more information about Northside, visit our website, northsidechristianchurch.net.
Well, growing up, I did ride bikes. I was kind of a bike rider. I remember my first bike, I think it was like a Huffy from Walmart. Eventually graduated to the BMX, where we added the pegs on the front and the back so we could do a little trick riding, you know, that kind of thing, which I'm sure this is kind of how that went. That's about the extent of my trick riding. And then I went to the 10-speed, did that for a while riding. But here's something I remember about my bike riding experiences growing up. Rode all over Carterville, Webb City, Joplin, those areas where I grew up, riding bikes all the time, going out for days at a time with my buddies. And Ryan, we loved that. But here's one thing that we did not have. We did not have helmets. We never wore helmets riding a bike. We were the non-helmet, because it just wasn't a thing, right? I mean, back then, it just wasn't a thing. So how many of you, just out of curiosity, you grew up, you were bike riders, the no-helmet bike rider kind of riders, right? Yeah, most of you. And congratulations, you barely survived. But you're here. And we just didn't do that. Now, we somehow, along the way, people realized, you know, there's a lot of people with head injuries, brain injuries going on. And, you know, it might be a good idea to wear a helmet. And so that became kind of the thing to do, became important. And but it's kind of gotten to the point now. I mean, you'll be driving down the road and you see some little kid on their little tricycle or on their little big wheel, and you know, they're wearing their helmet out there, and you're like, okay, maybe we've gone a little overboard. But I can appreciate the fact that we've come to understand that the brain is something that should be protected. The brain is pretty important, and you're going to see that even today. I mean, we're going into the NFL playoffs, and some of you Chief fans out there will be rooting for the Chiefs tonight when they beat the Steelers, right? You're excited about that, and I'm assuming we don't have any Steeler fans in the room, and unfortunately, okay, maybe one. And anyway, they're going to beat the Steelers tonight, and you know, when that happens, we're going to be looking at guys who are competing and playing on the field with state-of-the-art concussion helmets. Now the NFL has their concussion protocol. Every high school, every school has now their concussion protocol. When someone has a hit to the head that they have to go through, and they'll go to great lengths to protect the brain, to protect the head, because it's important. What I've noticed is while there's been this incredibly heightened sense of we've got to protect the brain, we've got to protect the head, we've got to go to great lengths to make sure the head is protected, what we're not protecting is the mind. I mean, we've been negligent about protecting the mind. The mind is not protected by a skull. And the mind is not guarded by a helmet. The mind, whatever comes into it, and whatever we allow to remain in it, can do great damage to the mind. And while we've been really careful with the brain, we've not paid much attention in our culture to the mind at all. We've said it doesn't affect me, it doesn't bother me. Whatever goes, it doesn't matter. Let it all come in. And so you just wonder, why do we see such destructive emotions in people? Why do we see such destructive behaviors in people? Why do we view ourselves the way we do, view God the way we do? Why do we struggle so much internally with ourselves the way we do? And one of the answers is because of what is going on in our minds. What we've allowed into it, what remains in it? The Bible makes it very clear that there is a battle for your mind right now. I mean, last week we saw in Romans chapter 8, verse 6, where Paul said that the mind set on the flesh is death. It's death. But a mind set on the Spirit is life and it's peace. Where you have your mindset, what's going on in your mind, it matters. The God of this age is blinding the minds of unbelievers. The war that's being waged is for the mind. What we believe about ourselves, what we believe about others, what we believe about God, about life, about truth, about love, about grace, it has a direct effect on everything else in our life. And many of us are being silently poisoned by the toxic things we're allowing into our minds and the toxic things we're thinking about in our minds. We have mind damage. which is every bit as significant as brain damage. The Bible says in Proverbs 4:23, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. We're to guard our heart. Isn't it interesting that the CEV would say something like this? This translation would say, carefully guard your thoughts. Same verse. Guard your mind, guard your thoughts. Now, which one is it? Are we talking about the heart here, or are we talking about the mind here? Well, what you need to understand is when you look at the Hebrew approach and thought to mind and heart, that they were one and the same. Hebrew thought didn't really separate the two. It was just the core of your being, who you are in and of yourself. And so it was one and the same. And so in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, when it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. Your heart, your soul, and all your strength. Love the Lord. This was the command. So when Jesus is repeating the great commandment, maybe you remember when Jesus is speaking, he adds a word. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. Oh, mind. Why would Jesus add this word mind when the original text said heart, soul, and strength? And some have said because he's dealing with Greek thought, with those in Greek thought that had separated the heart from the mind, even though it's really connected to the core of who we are. In Greek thought, they were separated, your heart and then your mind. And Jesus saying, basically here, if you want to get the context of what God is saying in Deuteronomy, you can't separate the two. You got to love the Lord your God with everything. All of yourself. You got to give it all to the Lord. You can't say, my heart is devoted to God, but in my mind, I'm going to dwell on these thoughts. I'm going to embrace these thoughts. I'm going to live with these thoughts. It just doesn't work like that. The two go together. You can't love God with all your heart unless you're also loving God with all your mind. They're connected. They go together. And when we get sucked into negative thinking and false beliefs bombard us, and we begin to take in thoughts that are not of God, we got to understand, we got to guard that mind, because it's only a matter of time when it will lead our mind and lead our heart astray. Craig Rochelle, in his book, Soul Detox, which is the inspiration for the layout of this sermon series that we launched last week, said this. He said, the root of most sins we commit outwardly is the false beliefs we embrace inwardly. The root of most sins that we commit outwardly are because of the false beliefs that we have come to embrace inwardly. What we've allowed to come into our minds and remain in our minds has had a devastating effect on our minds. If you have your Bible or you have a device today, I want you to open up to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Just open up to that. I want you to look at your own device, look at your own Bible, and also, because you can get a little context to this, we're just going to look at a couple verses here, but I want you to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We're going to be looking at verses 4 and 5, and as you open up to this text, I'll give a little context. What we have here are some false teachers who have been planting false beliefs in the minds of the believers. They were criticizing Paul's ministry. They're undermining Paul's credentials. Going all the way back to the first letter, 1 Corinthians, they're saying that Paul lacked power. They were saying that Paul was not a great speaker. He was not a great communicator. He wasn't impressive with the things that he said. And these false teachers were using mind games to get the people to think differently about Paul and his message of salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. They were saying that gospel message is polluted, it's messed up. They were using false thinking, false beliefs, fallacious logic to mislead people away from Paul's message of truth. It was a battle for people's thoughts. And here's Paul's response to those who were attacking him as he talks about how, look, the war we're in here, the battle we're in is not the same kind of war that we see being waged throughout the world. And he says, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. He's saying the weapons that we fight with, the weapons we use in this war that we're engaged in, has divine power to demolish, to destroy strongholds. And that word strongholds, used as a noun, means castle, or as a verb can mean fortify. And a literal translation would be a prisoner locked by deception. A prisoner who's locked by deception. That the weapons we fight with, they have the power to unlock those prisoners that are held by deception. And so Paul's using these spiritual weapons to fight this spiritual battle that has spiritual strongholds over people's minds, so that people will no longer be trapped in their deception. The battle is for the mind. And when people don't guard their thoughts, they will soon be overpowered. Those thoughts can become a fortress in their minds that holds them captive, and they don't see any way out. Many believers are held captive by toxic lies from the enemy. Wrong thinking is keeping people from God. Craig Groeschel said it this way in his book. He said, the ongoing battle between flesh and spirit is usually fought in our minds. This battle between our flesh and between our spirit is being fought in our minds. The walls of resistance in our minds that we have put up, that we've constructed, they like the walls of Jericho, have got to come down. Warren Wiersbe said it this way. He said, once the walls of the mind have been torn down, then the door of the heart can be opened. Once we tear down the walls, then we can receive what God wants to give us. And so the weapons that Paul's talking about here, when he's talking about the weapons that we fight with, you know, in Ephesians 6, when he's talking about the spiritual battle that's taking place, he mentions some weapons there. He talks about the word of God used as a weapon. He talks about prayer being used as offensively as a weapon. So the word of God and prayer are used in our lives to help in this battle for our minds. And here's what Paul goes on to say. So in 2 Corinthians 10, moving on to verse 5, Paul says, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. I love this word demolish. Some translations use the word destroy. We demolish, we destroy these arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. Anything that sets itself up against God, we're going to destroy it. We're going to tear it down. Every claim that comes against God, we're going to demolish and destroy that. Here's how we're going to say it today. We're going to reject toxic thoughts. We're going to reject toxic thoughts. And I'm going to get more into what Paul's talking about in a moment, but I want to mention really quick, when it comes to toxic thoughts, four specific kinds of toxic thoughts that poison our minds that Craig Groeschel identifies. I'm going to share these with you. I thought they were good. And here's what they are. Number one is this: negative thoughts. Negative thoughts. Have you ever been around somebody who was negative? A negative person. Negative thoughts. Aren't they a joy to be around? Don't you just look forward to marking them into your calendar and spending time with negative people? Don't you love it? In fact, once you go, just point to someone around you that seems to be kind of negative. No, just don't do that. So anyway, I mean, there's just, we don't want to be around negative people. We have no interest in that. And yet, sometimes you can't get away from yourself. Pessimism produces chronic negative thoughts. And maybe you got it. You say, I'm no good. I'll always fail. I'll never amount to anything. No one likes me. No one cares about me. No one notices me. I mess up everything. My life stinks. It's not going to get any, it's only going to get worse. I'll never catch a break. It's never going to change. God never comes through for me. I've got nothing to wear. Had to put something that would directly relate to all of you. Any of those kinds of thoughts, negative thoughts, it can be deadly. And the cumulative, they can imprison us in this hellish pit of toxic waste. Negative, pessimistic thinking. I mean, even if a grain of truth exists in a particular thought, even if there's a grain of truth in there, where you plant that seed, it is going to grow. And if you allow it to grow, negativity always grows. Negative thoughts are like weeds that grow up and eventually choke out the truth. Negativity multiplies. Negative thoughts always seek and look for validation. And over time, the truth can be swallowed up with those false beliefs. And we get a distorted perspective, a false perspective, an unhealthy perspective. It's certainly not God's perspective. We can get unrealistic expectations because we've allowed these chronic, negative, pessimistic thoughts to brew. And one of the things that I've observed is that people who come into their church, or they come into work, or they come into an organization looking for something negative, guess what? They're going to find something negative. Every time you will find something negative. Maybe you came to that decision one day where you're like, you know, I'm going to go, whatever it is, work, I'm going to go to this place, I'm going to this place. I'm just going to see if anybody says hi to me. Maybe you've tested that before. And what you probably found out, yeah, not very many people said hi to you. Imagine that. Maybe you didn't look very approachable that day. So we go into it with these negative thoughts, pessimistic stuff. I'm just going to see, and we usually find it. Have you ever been having a great day, and you start talking to someone who's really negative? And maybe there was just a slight grain of truth in what they said. And so you listen and you engage. The next thing you know, yeah, you're frustrated, mad, that's ridiculous. And pretty soon they leave and you're in a bad, sour mood. And you're like, what happened? Negativity is contagious. Negative thoughts. Here's another one, number two. Anxious thoughts. Anxious thoughts. Fearful, worried thoughts. A close cousin to negative thinking is fearful thinking. I know there's that verse in 2 Timothy that tells us that God did not give us a spirit of timidity, fear, but of power, love, self-discipline, and yet we've all known that spirit of fear and anxiety and worry. And we wonder to ourselves, what's going to happen to the economy? What if my company downsizes and I get laid off again? What if my marriage will never be what I'd hoped it would be? What if I never get married? What if my children stop pursuing the Lord? They're not texting me. They're not responding. I wonder if something horrible happened. And here's what fear is. Fear is having faith in the enemy. Fear is having faith in the enemy. Anxious, fearful, worried thoughts can consume us and fill us with anxiety. Here's a third one. Discontented thoughts. Discontented thoughts are toxic thoughts. You're discontent with your possessions, discontent with your job, money, your own body appearance. So much discontent, you're looking for someone or something to help you may be happy and fulfilled. Maybe you've gone from relationship to relationship, feeling unfulfilled, and just only now realizing that no one or no thing can overcome discontented thoughts. Discontent always means dissatisfaction. You will always want more. I wish my husband was a better provider, spiritual leader, communicator, lover, whatever. He would be able to be better. I wish I had a boyfriend or girlfriend. Then I'd be content and happy. I wish I had children. Or I wish I had more children. Or I wish I had different children. That could be it. I wish I was smarter, more attractive, a better athlete, a better car, more money, nicer clothes, a bigger house, granite countertops. You know, when you live with discontent and you continue to perpetuate discontented thoughts, it will grow into bitterness. It will grow into resentment. You'll start to want what people have and wish they didn't have it. Here's a fourth one. Critical thoughts. Critical thoughts. Critical thoughts are just those destructive, judgmental thoughts in which you're constantly pointing out and finding fault and what's wrong. You criticize. You find fault with people, organizations, churches, business, coworkers, employees. You just find fault with everybody. You criticize. You criticize the way someone dresses. She wears way too much makeup. Listen to her name dropping. Give me a break. Who does he think he is? He's so full of himself. Why is he always smiling and acting so happy, so fake? Maybe you're criticizing coworkers. People I work with are a bunch of idiots. Why do I stay here anyway? Critical thoughts. Critical thoughts about the way someone looks. So they become judgmental thoughts. Based on appearance, we make some assumptions. And we criticize, we look down upon just because of the way they look. You know, tomorrow's Martin Luther King Jr. Day. remembering and celebrating a life of a man who had great faith and was on mission to rise up against racism and bigotry and judgmental attitudes simply because of the color of skin. Jesus sought to tear down those same kind of walls of racism and bigotry. And so Craig mentions these thoughts, negative, anxious, discontent, critical. I want to give one more. It's not in your notes. You can write it down, but I think it's in context of the scripture. But it's just this. It's ungodly. Ungodly thoughts. I mean, any thought that is unholy, ungodly, any thought that's anti-Christ, that's against Christ, anything that would set itself up against God or against the truth of the gospel, against who God is, any thought, it can be those four we mentioned, but ungodly thoughts, we must demolish. We must destroy. We must reject any thought that comes into our life that fits in that realm. 1 Corinthians 2:16 says, but you as believers, you have the mind of Christ. Paul says, but we have the mind of Christ. And you're like, no, I don't. If you knew what I think about, if you knew my thoughts, I don't have the mind of Christ. Paul says, but people who are redeemed and who are reconciled to God and people who have been transformed by the renewing of their minds, the way the scripture talks about, they have the mind of Christ. When we fix our minds on him and let him do the work he wants to do. You know, the prophet Jeremiah in the Old Testament, it was a prayer in Jeremiah 12, verse 3. He's crying out to God. He says, you see me, and test my thoughts about you. Test my thoughts about you. And then drag them off like a sheep to be butchered and set them apart for the day of slaughter. He's just inviting God to come into his thought process and saying, God, if you find a black sheep in there, if you find a thought that's a black sheep, would you drag it off and would you destroy it, demolish it, kill it, get rid of it, get it out of my mind. I reject these toxic thoughts. God, would you help me reject these toxic thoughts? And then we come back to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, our text. He says, we reject it, we demolish it, we destroy it. And he says, and we take captive every thought. We take it captive to make it obedient to Christ. To make it obedient to Christ. In other words, it's not enough just to reject it. Here's what I'm saying. We got to surrender it. Surrender every thought to Christ. God, this thought I surrender to you. You've heard someone say, keep your thoughts to yourself. You need to keep your thoughts to yourself. Don't do that. Don't keep your thoughts to yourself. Now, that doesn't mean just share your thoughts with everybody either. It doesn't mean that either. What it means is don't just keep them to yourself, because there your thoughts can become distorted and overinflated and unhealthy and unholy. On the other hand, don't keep your thoughts to yourself. Instead, surrender every thought to him. Surrender every thought to Jesus. We sometimes think every thought is just to ourselves. Oh, I just thought it's not going to hurt anybody. But no, God knows every thought, and it'll come out in our behaviors and our emotions. And so we got to surrender every thought, take every thought captive. We don't have to live as victims, as captives to our thoughts, and assume that there's nothing we can do about it. We can surrender this thought and make it obedient to Christ. Jesus' thought I give to you right now. You have the power through Christ to take them captive instead of being held captive. And you have the power through Christ to surrender it to him. And let God do with that thought what he wants to do with that thought, to surrender it. And if it's an unhealthy, toxic thought, God, drag it off. Drag it off, God. I'm surrendering it to you right now. God, I surrender this thought to you. Take it away. Or let me think on this so it brings glory to you. That reminds, moves us to the final scripture, Philippians 4, verse 8, where Paul says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever's noble, whatever's right, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever's admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such thing. Think on these things. In other words, promote pure thoughts. Promote pure thoughts. Be selective. Be selective about what you think about. About what you allow into your mind. Instead of meditating on toxic thoughts, meditate on the truth. And over time, you're going to find that you're more joyful and you're more peace-filled than you can imagine right now. Craig, in his book, talks about the difference between hummingbirds and vultures. Hummingbirds and vultures, there's a big difference. First of all, vultures are out there looking for this rank roadkill, right? That's what they're looking for. They're up there flying around looking for some rank roadkill. that they can swoop in and feast on. It's nasty. Then you got these little hummingbirds. They're looking for some sweet nectar. That's what they're looking for. He says you can either be the vulture or you can be the hummingbird, because both birds will find what they're looking for. They will find what they're looking for. And the same is true of you. You can be on a search for that roadkill, or you can find the sweet nectar in each day. And so if you want to find negative things, you're going to find them. If you want to find things to worry about, you're going to find them. If you want to be critical, you won't have to look long. You'll find a lot to be critical about. If you choose to be negative, you'll accomplish your goal. But if you choose to see the good in life, you'll find it. If you choose to look and seek for God, God says, you will find me. If you want to see God working, you'll find his loving presence at work. And so Craig Rossona's book says it this way. He says, we're not saying you shape your life with good thoughts. We're saying you shape it with God thoughts. We're not just saying you shape your life with good thoughts. Hey, good thoughts are good. But it's more than that. We're saying you shape it with God thoughts. What thoughts are you putting the most weight in? Whose thoughts carry the most weight in your life? Is it your thoughts? Is it someone else's thoughts who's speaking into life? Whose thoughts? Here's what Isaiah said. In Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 through 9, Isaiah said, he's writing this from the perspective of God. God's speaking to us. And here's what God says to us through the prophet Isaiah. He says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Francis Chan was talking about this at the Passion Conference, and he says, do you want to know what I think? And the room said, yes. And he said, no, you don't. He said, because my thoughts are not God's thoughts. As the heavens are higher than the earth, that's how much higher God's thoughts are than my thoughts. You don't really want to know what I think. Francis Chan says, you want to know what God thinks. He says, do you think I wake up every morning and sit alone with my thoughts? Because I don't want to sit alone with my thoughts, because his thoughts are infinitely higher than my thoughts. I want to empty myself of my thoughts, and I want to know his thoughts. One of the most destructive practices is when we value our thoughts too much. And God says, my thoughts are not the same as yours. We have to stop believing everything we think and everything we feel. And we need to start valuing the word of God, his truth, because his thoughts are infinitely higher than ours. Let's listen to what he has to say. So many days I don't feel something that I should. I don't feel treasured by God. I don't feel valued by God. And those are the days when Francis Chan says, I just tell Francis Chan, shut up. Francis, be quiet. Because on those days, when I start wrestling with my thoughts and believing in the seeds of lies that the evil one has planted into my life, I'm listening to the wrong ones. I need to listen to him. Those good thoughts are godly thoughts when we're listening to God's word, letting him speak into our life. So I just kind of want to close with this. We've all heard the phrase before, it's the thought that counts. It's the thought that counts. Right? It's the thought that counts. And there's some truth in that. And certainly I am saying today, it's the thought that counts. What you think about counts. But there's something even more important than that. And that's this. It's the God thought that counts. It's the God thought that counts. And I just want to challenge you this week to take every thought that you already know is not of God and reject that toxic thought. I want to challenge you this week to take every thought, this little 7-day challenge, and just surrender it to God. Reject toxic thoughts. Surrender every thought to God. And when the evil one plants a seed of temptation in your mind, you reject, you surrender it. Surrender it to God. And then promote pure thoughts. Pure thinking. Meditate on that. Think on that. And you will experience, as the word of God begins to work in your thoughts, what the scriptures talk about when it says, do not be conformed to the patterns of this world. A world in which it gives no concern whatsoever to the mind. and be transformed by the renewing of your mind. God cares a great deal about your mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will know what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. I want to invite you to go ahead and stand at this time. And our servers, I want to ask that you be dismissed for our time of communion. Because we want to allow this to be a moment where we just surrender to the Spirit of God. This is a moment where, as we begin to go into communion, where we take of bread representing the body of Jesus that was broken for us as He was beaten, persecuted, tortured, hung on a cross. And as we take of a cup representing the blood of Jesus that was poured out and shed for us, freeing us from our guilt, empowering us to live a new life, this is an acknowledgement right now, Jesus, we need You. We can't save ourselves. We can't renew ourselves. We can't fight this battle in our own strength. Jesus, we need You. We remember You. We trust in You. Now, as we partake of communion here in a few moments, if you're not a believer in Jesus, it's okay to let the trays pass. We respect your journey. But for all of us, and you included, I would just ask we use this time to just think on Him, the life that He gives, the sacrifice He made. Let our minds begin to dwell on Jesus. And so at this time, Jesus, we fix our eyes and our thoughts, our minds on You. It's in Jesus' name we pray.
Thanks for joining Northside Christian Church for our weekly podcast. Don't forget to share your story with us by emailing amen@northsidechristianchurch.net or by tagging your tweets with #AmenNCC.